John's Gospel, chapter 20, please, at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. So you have signs. Then you've got selection. Not everything is put down. Then you are told what it all signifies. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's his office. The Son of God. That's his person. And that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. The Lord is risen. Christ is alive. The power of death is broken. The power of the tomb is shattered. The Savior's walking the virgin soil of resurrection. He's risen as the firstborn from the dead and the firstfruits of them that slept. Firstborn is order as to dignity. Firstfruits is order as to time. But Christ is alive, and he's alive forevermore. It's the first day of the week. Interesting, isn't it? The first day of the week, and they are gathered together. Verse 19. For we're now going to look at the revelation of the Lord. And they're gathered there on the first day of the week. The doors are closed for fear of the Jews. These men are frightened men. After all, feelings running high. There are strange rumors that the Christ is alive. They're frightened. They're gathered with shut doors. When suddenly, into their midst, there comes the Son of God. Listen to it. Let the words get home to you as you visualize the scene. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. No knocking upon the door. No opening of the door. Christ suddenly appears, standing there in his resurrection body. A body that is not governed by the laws that govern this body. And standing there, he says, peace be unto you. Can you see them watching him? Hardly daring to believe the sight of their eyes. Peace. There's Peter. He had denied them. There's the whole lot of them. They had forsaken him and fled. But no word of rebuke. No word of reproach. No explanation asked for. No explanation, no interrogation. No court trial. Not shame upon you, but peace be unto you. Thus he brought peace to troubled hearts and disturbed minds and conscience. Peace. Ere he left them, he said, my peace I give unto you. And now as he stands on resurrection ground, he says to them, peace, peace. It was a wondrous moment. Typical of thousands of gathering sins. The followers of the Christ gathered together with Jesus in the midst. There he is standing that day, and he identifies himself, his person. He showed them his hands and his side. And as they looked, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Have you got it? Assembled together. The presence of Christ in the midst. Enjoying peace. Brethren and sisters, that was the first gathering of thousands since. With the risen Christ central to the gathering, only not now seen by the eye, but seen by the eye of faith. Will you gather it? Will you get it, please, together? For remember this. Every time when we gather and notice these gatherings are on the first day of the week. Yes, ever and anon they'll refer to it like this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John will write about it the first day. Acts 20 will say, the disciples came together on the first day to break bread. Now concerning the collection upon the first day of the week. So it is John in Patmos. He's on the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Sabbath has gone and gone for good as far as this dispensation is concerned. The curtain has fallen on Judaism. And now Christianity is about to be introduced, centered in the risen man in the glory. The first day, treasure it and value it. Our brother Leckie has made reference to it. Value it. The first day when we gather together unto him. Notice, please, every gathering is Christ-centered. We gather unto him. We gather unto the name of the Lord. We own no other name. We want no other name. We gather unto Christ. Listen to what your Bible says when you come together. You come together as a church of God, as a church of the living God, as the churches of Christ. Have you got it? We are here, brethren and sisters, to represent God and Christ to the community. Will you get it? Listen carefully. We are not here to represent brethrenism. God forbid. We don't represent any ism.
We are here to represent God and Christ, gathered together to represent God, to testify of God and Christ to the community. That's it. Oh, may God save us from denominationalism. May God help us to get back to the primitive splendor of apostolic revelation and gather to the name of Christ and to the name of Christ alone. And there, no matter where you gather, Christ central to the gathering. We gather unto Him. Isn't that it? There we experience the presence of God and the presence of Christ. Brethren and sisters, never forget, your place of gathering is not your place of worship. Have you got it? Listen again. Your place of gathering is not your place of worship. That's how people outside talk. It's not true. No matter where you gather, it's not your place of worship. Where you gather to say tonight, wherever you gather at any time, supposing someday the building's burned down, your place of gathering is gone. Now listen carefully to me, for we're getting wrong ideas and conceptions about buildings. Whenever the building's burned down, the brethren will endeavor to find another place or gather in a home. Your place of gathering has gone, but not your place of worship. For your place of worship's the sanctuary. Your place of worship is the presence of God. You can't burn it down. And wherever you may gather, whether it be in a building, or in a tin hut, or in a home, or even on the hillside, where'er we meet thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Oh, brethren, gather today, will you, the glory and wonder of gathering unto the name of the Lord. There was a day when the earlier brethren associated with us rejected every name. And yes, purely and simply we gather unto the Lord, and Christ is central to it. That's what it was here. Peace be unto you. Yes, He had brought it out upon the cross, and now He brought it to them in all its wonder to their hearts. Drop your eye now, please, will you, to verse 20. Sorry, verse 21. The second time, He says, peace be unto you. But notice now, it's peace in relation to service. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 19, peace to troubled hearts and minds. Verse 21, peace needed. You must be assured of it ere you go out to serve me. Listen to what he says. Now grasp it. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. If you had been at the reading this afternoon, you would have heard the Greek scholars talking about the difference between apostello and tempo. Two different words for sent. Now, they are here. As the Father hath sent apostello, that is delegated authority. Even so send, tempo, dispatched under authority. As my Father hath delegated, set me apart and sent me, as He hath delegated authority to me, even so send I you under that authority. Christ has authority over everything, not us. No authority granted that way, either to church or individuals. But we go out dispatched under the authority of Christ. Now listen again. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Listen again to Matthew. Standing yonder with a number of men around him, the whole world lying in darkness and in the shadow of death. Go! Lo, I am with you always. Hear him. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Listen to his prayer. You remember he said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them. Sent of Christ, sent of God. It's the greatest thing in the world. Do you know anything about it? Come on. Are you where you are because God wants you to be? Whether it be Ayr, Kilmarnock, Anbank, or California, or Australia or New Zealand, it doesn't matter. Sent of God. It's the greatest thing in the world. Are you prepared for it? Oh, we're needing them. Look out abroad. There's no missionaries going out. I'm sorry, brethren, they're all coming home. There's nobody wants to dare for Christ and suffer and sacrifice. You see, if Christ sends you, you've got to go. You've got to go. Have you got this sense in your soul that you're sent of Christ just where you are and you don't want to be anywhere else? Oftentimes I've spoken of the wreck off the Atlantic coast. The lifeboat was called out. As they stood there getting ready, the youngest member of the crew, white-faced and a little afraid, spoke to the captain. He said, "Sir, the wind's offshore and the tide's running out. If we go out tonight, we'll never get back." The captain lifted his hand, and as his eyes swept the crew, he said, "Gentlemen, we've got to go. We've got to go. We needn't come back." Have you got it? Oh, this is what in the last century drove men and women to home and abroad to tell out the message. Isn't that right? This daring for Christ, this sacrificial spirit. You remember Ecuador? Come on, brethren and sisters. You remember it? 5 young men, some of them married with a family. And they're looking across the river to where the Oca Indians were. And deep down in their souls, these 5 young men felt that God and Christ was calling them to take the torch of the gospel across. They went. They went. They never came back. They never came back. Sent of Christ. Oh, couldn't we turn Scotland upside down? If we got deep down in our souls the sense of commission, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Verse 22. The difficult verse. He breathes on them. And he says, "Receive ye Holy Spirit." What does it mean? Now careful. Supposing for the moment that we omit the verse. Got that? And we'll read through. Says this. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Have you got it? Get the setting and you'll get the explanation. Here's the setting. Now he says, "My Father sent me into the world, and I'm going to send you into the world. You've got a message to preach." Have you got that? And then he stood and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye Holy Spirit." And when he breathed on them, he imparted to them his risen life as power for service by the power of the Spirit of God. Now you've only one other place you can go to. Isn't that right? Only one other reference in your Bible. Genesis 2. You remember? "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, the word for breathed is the same word as here. Now yonder, as he looked down on Adam's inanimate frame, he breathed into Adam the breath of life and gave him life in relation to the old creation. So now the risen Lord stands and he breathes into them. And they receive his risen life in relation to the new creation. This is Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, as a life-giving spirit. This is Romans 8 and 2. This is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yes, listen. Watch these men. They're listening to Christ. Now, get it in illustration. The Lord says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And they look at him. And they think of the world into which he came as God's Son servant. And they, as they think of what it meant to Christ and what he suffered as he went out sent of God, they look at him and they say to him, oh Lord, it's all right for you. The glory of your person, the wonder of your works, the power of your preaching. Lord, it's easy for you, but us, poor weak men, what can we do? We could never do it unless we had your life and your power. And he gave it to them. He gave it to them. He stooped, and breathing into them, he imparted his risen life as power for service, known only in the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody might say to me this, and I'll try and answer you. You might say then, what's the difference between eternal life and the risen life of the Lord? Well now, they are the same in essence, but different in emphasis. Have you got that? The same in essence, but different in emphasis. Eternal life is for enjoyment, satisfaction, and manifestation. The risen life of Christ is for authority and administration. Now, he breathed on them, he gave them power for service, verse 23. And he said, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, he's sending them out. He's giving them a message. They're going into the world. And this message that they have is a message that proclaims remission of sins, or retention of sins. Now watch carefully, please. He's not giving them authority to forgive sins. He's not giving them authority to retain sins upon people. What he's doing is this, he's giving them authority to proclaim forgiveness. And he's giving them authority, if people refuse, that they can say, well, your sins are still there. Got it? And these men were going out to proclaim remission of sins through the gospel, the forgiveness of sins in Christ, and through the value of precious blood. Tell it around, let it abound, the glory of the gospel, the wonder of glad tidings, centered in the risen Christ of God, who shed his blood on Calvary's tree. Tell me, are your sins forgiven? Come on now. If you refuse it, ultimately and finally, you'll retain your sins unto judgment. That's it. And now, when you go elsewhere, you get somewhat similar. For instance, if you go to Matthew 16, listen to this. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Watch. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Isn't that right? Now, over the page to Matthew 18. If he shall neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Got that? Come now, John 20. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins ye retain, are retained. Now, one thing more and I'm going on. All things considered, looking at it very broadly, Matthew 16, binding and loosing in relation to the kingdom. Matthew 18, binding and loosing in relation to a local assembly. John 20, remitting and retaining in relation to the gospel. That broadly is the teaching. Now please, come now, verses 24 to 29. The self-disclosure of Christ to Thomas. The self-disclosure of Christ to Thomas. Thomas wasn't there on the first day. He missed out. Came the others and they said, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. Can you feel it? Vibrant with enthusiasm. Joying in all the wonder and glory of it. Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas is skeptical. Thomas is skeptical. He hadn't been there. Oh, he said, you can believe that if you like. I won't be taken in so easily. Not me. Oh, I know we've called them Doubting Thomas. Listen, brethren, be careful. Do you know that Mark 16 says that all the disciples, that they didn't believe it when they saw it. He was no more doubting than the rest. He would have believed too if he'd been there the first Sunday. But watch. Watch. No, he said, no. I'm not having it. Can you understand this? Can you understand where this man is in the slough of this pond? In John 11, when the Lord says, Lazarus is dead, but we're going. Do you know what Thomas said? He looked at the rest of the disciples and he says, let us go with him that we may die with him. When the time came, he ran away. He didn't die with him. You can understand that he's of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15, when Christ is gone. Now there are some people, and when they are in deep, deep sorrow, desolation, they go to other people for company. But there are other people in the desolation of sorrow, and they creep into a corner to be alone. That's Thomas. He didn't appear the first day. He's downcast, depressed. Whenever they come to them with the wonderful story, not at all, he says, I'm not going to believe it. Now, I like these. Five words. They said, listen, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. They didn't say the way, what we would have said. Oh, well, then, if that's the way he feels about it, just leave him. After all, he should have been there anyway. It's his fault if he didn't appear when we assembled together. If he's missed the blessing of God and the revelation of Christ and the power of the Spirit and the joy and gladness of the presence of Christ, all right, leave him. Oh, no, brethren. Oh, no. They didn't act like that. We shouldn't either. Always remember, that God has weak children in his family. Always remember that he's got raw recruits in his army. Always remember that he's got frail sheep in the flock. They gather a week later. Suddenly, into their midst, came Christ. Peace be unto you. Got it? Verse 19, peace to troubled hearts and conscience. Verse 21, peace in relation to service. Now, verse 26, peace in relation to recovery. Oh, brethren and sisters, tell it out. There's a way back. The fact that you failed is not good enough. Christ has come to restore Thomas to the wonder of it all again. Listen, now please, verse 27. Oh, how Thomas must have been impressed by the omniscience of Christ. For he knows all about him. And will you notice, please, as you drop your eye to verse 27 and refer back to 25, that Christ takes Thomas's statement of unbelief word by word, phrase by phrase. Isn't that right? Listen to what he says. Thomas, you said, except I shall see in his hands. Thomas, behold my hands. Thomas, you said, except I see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in. Thomas, reach hither thy finger. You said, Thomas, you said, unless I can feel the nail holes, the only mention of nails, the only time it's mentioned. It had to be like that. The Romans sometimes bound them with cords. But it had to be nails, for Psalm 22:16 said, they pierce my hands and my feet. And he says, unless I feel the holes and put my finger in, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Except, he says, except I thrust my hand into his side. Thomas, reach hither thy hand and thrust it in. Thomas says, I will not believe. Thomas,
be not faithless, but believing.
Say, did he put out his finger to touch the nail holes? Did he put his hand into the side? It doesn't say so. Possibly sight was enough without the sense of touch. He believed the Lord was there. Verse 28, oh, he rises. Oh, how he soars. He was behind them a week before, now he's well in front. He bows. They said five words, we have seen the Lord. Thomas makes his great confession, my Lord and my God. Five words. That's it. My Lord, identification as to his person. My God, identification as to his deity. And Thomas bows low and makes the great confession, the only man that ever confessed that Christ was God. He bows and he says, my Lord and my God, and as the Son of God stands there, alive from the dead, lift your eyes, friends, with him, as Thomas did, will you? Will you make your declaration of faith tonight and belief? My Lord and my God, there he stands, the Christ of God, the Son of God, risen from the dead, victor o'er the tomb, the vanquisher of death, the pilgrim on the resurrection highway, the leader to God. Oh, my Lord, oh, brethren, bow before him and adore him. My Lord, and my God. Thomas. 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 Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Listen, the last beatitude. Blessed be they that have not seen, yet have believed. We're there, aren't we, brethren? Come on, we're there. We've never saw him. Isn't that right? We knew nothing about him when he came down here to dwell in Nazareth. Isn't that right? We've never seen him as he walked through. We saw him not when he was lifted up on the tree. Isn't that right? Nor heard the meek imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. Oh, Lord, we believe. Time and again, yes, what restored him? The wounds of the Christ, the vision of the risen Lord. That's it. And when you get down, get back to the cross, get back to resurrection, get back to the foundation facts of your faith. Ever and anon the Lord has decreed it. Isn't that right? Bread and wine, the body and the blood of Christ. Get back to the person. Get back to Calvary. Get back to the cross. Get back to the resurrection. It's the way to recovery and to sustain you all the journey through. Isn't it wonderful? Now I'll need to stop. Listen to me, will you? So send I you. Will you grasp it? Will you go forward in his name? Say, am I taking you back? Is that right? Do you remember the vision of early days? Do you remember what you were going to be for God? Isn't that right? It's long since faded as you've got on in the world. What did he say? He said, occupy till I come. Get busy in the service of God until I come. Is that it? Until, or Brother Leckie says, he may come as I'm speaking. Until then, my heart shall go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Until then.